I think it's one of the great Australian dreams, isn't it, to be able to pack everything up, get into the car, perhaps hitch up the caravan and just take off around Australia. We know there's plenty of older people doing it. They've got the time and the money perhaps too in retirement to be able to do it. But it seems increasingly there's a lot of families on the road. I guess it's a window when it comes to kids and their education. And if you've got the guts to do it, how rewarding can it be? Amanda Lovell lives on the east coast of Tasmania with her husband and three fairly young children, and they did it for 3 months last year. Hello, Amanda.
Hello, Louise.
Was it a dream? Was it something that you and your husband had planned and dreamed of doing?
Yeah, it was, actually. We planned it for some time. We made a sea change initially from Hobart and moved to the east coast. So we're very lucky to live in a beautiful part of Tasmania. But that wasn't really enough for us. We always had this burning desire to pack everyone into a caravan, which is slightly mad, I know, and travel as far as we could, basically, in as much time as we could manage. So for us, that was 13 weeks, almost 3 months last year. We took the kids out of school for term three, basically, and we did what we like to call our little half lap. So we went across to Adelaide, up the middle, and down the Western Australian coast as far as Perth, and then back across the Nullarbor and back home. So, and yeah, it was everything that we, I think, had anticipated it would be.
We'll unpick the trip shortly. How old are your children, Amanda?
So they are now 5, 7 and 9. They were 4, 6 and 8 at the time, so they've all had a birthday since.
Was it a bit of a window that you needed to do it kind of before the oldest got too old?
I think that was always in our mind. When we did the first sea change and moved house, our youngest was only 6 months, so we knew then that she was obviously a little bit too little to do the big one. We wanted everyone to sort of be feeding themselves, dressing themselves, going to the bathroom, all of those things. That makes it obviously a bit easier to travel, but then not have them missing great chunks of school that would set them back. So I think for us the timing was ideal. Our youngest hadn't yet started kinder, so we didn't have to actually pull her out of school. And both the boys, fortunately for us, are doing really well at school. So they had sort of got themselves into a position where they could take some time off, and they still did work on the road, but there wasn't as much pressure on them.
I mean, you've got to have enough money to be able to make it. You've got to get the time off work. Were they sort of things that gave you some pause for thought when you're organising all that?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, when you're in the process of planning it, you think, gosh, are we absolutely mad? You know, like, are we crazy? We certainly drew on all of our resources. We're very fortunate that my husband was able to take long service leave and annual leave. So we were able to draw on a salary while we were travelling. We saved immensely. We weren't as frugal as we could have been on the road. So we accept that, you know, things are a little bit squeezy and tight now. But I think for us, there's certainly no regrets that we did that. And in terms of the timing, you can say that there's never a right time. You know, financially, obviously, you have to do everything you can to put yourself in a good position. We didn't, like I said, we didn't go out and buy a $100,000 rig or anything crazy like that. We used our existing caravan, our existing car. So we made those things work for us, and we free camped where we could, and we did all those things. But again, we spent money when we wanted to, and we did experience things.
What were the must-sees? What were the sort of the key anchor points on this trip that you were definitely going to get to, Amanda?
Yeah, so some of the things that we definitely wanted to do for all of us was Uluru. That was a really massive highlight for us and a goal for us to get to. So I think that's probably something that we'll never forget as a family, sharing that experience. People who've been there would be able to relate that it's very spiritual when you're at Uluru. There's a real aura there, a real sense that is hard to describe. So that was pretty special for us. And some other places that we did down the West Australian coast. So we did Exmouth, Coral Bay, the Ningaloo Reef, and those kinds of places were just exquisite. Like, we live in a beautiful part of Australia here in Tasmania. Trust me, our beaches are amazing. That was about the only place we found that probably rivaled it, and the water was obviously a bit warmer. So that was that was the bonus. And I guess one thing that I do remember from that particular part of the world was we took the kids on a boat trip, and we swam with manta rays in the ocean. Now, so two out of my three children were able to do that, which was pretty amazing, and all four of us were in the water at the one time with these two manta rays beneath us. And I think things like that are things that we will just never forget. And for them, they have a mum that doesn't really swim either. So to get mum in the ocean snorkeling with the manta ray is pretty memorable.
Major achievement. Am I right in thinking that there seem to be an increasing number of young families getting out on the road around Australia, Amanda?
Yeah, well, there certainly is. I think, I don't know if it's a movement so much. I don't like to say the word that it's kind of trendy, but I remember when we first started talking about it, it wasn't really something that families were doing. And in the time of our planning, it sort of got its own momentum, and there are, I would say, probably hundreds of families doing it, some doing it for much longer. Some sell up everything and hit the road, and we've met some families who've been doing it for a couple of years, which is certainly a different, and that's a lifestyle for them as opposed to just a trip. But certainly there are increasing numbers of families who are sort of seizing the moment and realising that your kids aren't that small for very long, and that this might be the only time you can kind of do these crazy things and pile them into a tin bus and go.
How do the kids react to having those sort of short-term friendships and even, I guess, people they might even run into again further down the road, do they, Amanda?
Yeah, they did make friends really easily. We joked that our youngest, who was four, was the social one. So she would head off into the great unknown, into the park or the free camp, and she would find someone. Without a doubt, she would make a friend. Then she would bring her brothers over. So without her, they might not have made as many friends. But they certainly, they're attracted to each other, the children, particularly if they haven't seen any other kids for a little while. They're sort of drawn to each other. We were fortunate to meet a family of five girls when we were in Coober Pedy, actually, and we ended up travelling with them for about 3 weeks. So we certainly formed a really strong bond with them, and that was great for the kids to have shared experiences. And I guess along the way they've met other kids who've done similar things, so that shared experience is something that they connected with, and they have maintained that. So they will email their friends and they FaceTime and those kinds of things now, which is really lovely for them to have friendships in different parts of Australia.